The verdict, guilty on all counts. This is Mike Clifford with a Public News Service Story Newscast update. In what's being described as a landmark verdict, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was convicted Tuesday for last year's killing of George Floyd. Our Mike Bowen reports racial justice advocates hope it's just the beginning of major progress for their movement.
The verdict, which included guilty counts for second and third degree murder, came nearly a year after Floyd's death sparked global protests over police mistreatment of black people. Outside the Hennepin County Courthouse, local activist Artis Mayfield called the verdict a big step forward, but adds it doesn't simply erase the long-standing problems the black community has dealt with.
You know, black-on-black crime is still happening, not just the police, but even our own people. You know what I'm saying? So we have to come together a lot harder.
She also points to the death of Dante Wright in nearby Brooklyn Center this month at the hands of police, even after all the awareness raised with Floyd's death. Mayfield credits the work of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison and the staff he chose to handle the case. Another Minneapolis-based activist outside the courthouse, Dantasia Murdoch, said the verdict follows an emotional year. She says she's glad to see accountability now, given the trauma the black community has dealt with in the justice system.
Just looking at how many names, how many people have been brutalized by the cops, is just heartbreaking.
Three other former Minneapolis police officers were also charged in Floyd's death. Their trial will be held later this year.
And from California, we get this reaction to the Chauvin verdict from Rick Callender, president of the California-Hawaii State Conference of the NAACP.
Our very right to breathe was on trial, and justice has really been served, and the verdict demonstrates our accountability.
Again, former police officer Derek Chauvin found guilty on all charges in Minnesota. State Senate lawmakers considering a bill today that would increase the penalty for obstructing a highway in Tennessee from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class E felony, punishable by up to 6 years in prison and a mandatory fine of up to $3,000. We get more from Nadia Ramlagan.
Critics say the legislation is a response to widespread protests over police brutality and is intended to squash further protest. Policy manager at Equity Alliance, Kendra Lee, explains a felony charge automatically strips a person of their voting rights and believes the legislation aims to deter people from taking to the streets.
Whether people are protesting against mask mandates, whether people are protesting against police brutality, we have seen people across political parties and political affiliations who have both expressed their freedom to peacefully assemble.
Supporters argue the legislation is needed to maintain law and order.
This is PNS. Communities across Nebraska are banding together now in response to the COVID-19 health emergency, and volunteers have become critical for distributing vaccines.
Alejandrina Lanuza with the Center for Rural Affairs is helping residents in Schuyler overcome any language barriers at the town's weekly vaccine clinic. She says nonprofit organizations are uniquely positioned to help these kinds of emergency operations succeed.
As nonprofits, we know the needs that our community have, and we have those connections. We have a real connection with people, and people trust us.
Schuyler's Thursday clinic has been staffed largely by volunteers who greet residents and help them get registered. Volunteers also sit with folks after they get their shots until they've been cleared by medical staff. Lanuza says it has taken a village-wide effort to pull off the clinic's logistics, and local businesses have stepped up by providing free meals and recruiting volunteers. I'm Eric Galatis.
Low-wage workers in Mississippi's restaurant, construction, and retail industries would benefit the most if the state expands Medicaid coverage under the new federal stimulus package. That's according to a new report.
Joan Alker co-authored the study from the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. She says the American Rescue Plan Act has new financial incentives to expand Medicaid in the 12 states, including Mississippi, that have refused to do so under the Affordable Care Act. The report finds cashiers, maids, and cooks, all female-dominated occupations, were the top three uninsured low-wage workers in Mississippi who would gain much-needed health coverage.
Maternal mortality tends to impact black women more than white women. There's growing evidence that Medicaid expansion reduces maternal and infant mortality. It's a critical first step to make sure that these women have coverage before, during, and after pregnancy.
I'm Diane Bernard.
Finally, as we've been reporting, President Joe Biden convenes a virtual climate summit with world leaders on Thursday, which is Earth Day. Here is Lily Bolke.
Former Maine Governor John Baldacci says Biden's climate agenda would make a big difference in the state. He points out that Maine is poorer than the national average, has lost many manufacturing jobs to overseas, and is in great need of high-paying union jobs.
Asthma is a big issue in terms of the ozone that comes into our state from the Midwest power plants. So we try to recognize that healthcare and energy, clean energy, are tied together from the air we breathe and the water we drink.
Maine lawmakers have introduced a bill that would implement the state's four-year plan for climate action called Maine Won't Wait. It would reduce greenhouse gas emissions 45% by 2030 and 80% by 2050.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, and online at publicnewsservice.org.